Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, March 8th, 2016. With me today, our man in the field, so to speak, John Martellaro. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. It's great to have you here, straight from the International Space Station. Brian Chaffin, how are you?
What? Great.
Yeah. Hey, you know, John is cool. He's a rocket scientist. I can say he's anywhere.
A fair point.
Yeah.
A fair point.
Yeah. Hey, it's great to have both of you guys here today. It's also great that our sponsor is Casper, the really awesome mattress company. And Brian, like you, I wish I were in my Casper bed right now.
Yeah, I still wish I was in my Casper mattress right now.
Yep, I totally get that. Well, since we're not in our Casper mattresses, how about we talk about the big, hefty fine Verizon got for doing its super cookie thing?
Yeah, how fun is that? FCC just doing its job there.
Nice. Yeah. So, what's the backstory on this?
All right. So here's the backstory. Verizon was using a tool called a super cookie to track its users, to track what they did on the interwebs. So what they did, the super cookie basically is it's a string of identifying code that Verizon is able to insert into internet traffic. So users have no control over it. They have no say over it. They have no awareness of it unless Verizon were to tell us. Mm-hmm. But it turns out they had to tell someone because they were then selling that information to third-party firms as well as using it for their own advertising.
Okay, so to make sure I've got this straight, they were using a system to track people without their knowledge or consent and then selling all this data to third parties.
Through their own advertising and then to third-party advertising firms as well.
Okay. Keeps our monthly bill low.
Yeah, or something like that. I'll just jump right to why. I mean, long-time listeners know that I've got a bee in my bonnet about us being the product, about people being the product, that we're being sold to advertisers. And that I got a bee in my bonnet about all these so-called free services that all they do is just find ways to track us and know things about us so that they can sell it to people. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I get super cranky about it. But when a telecom does this exact same sort of thing, this is like Google's wet dream. When a telecom does it, telecoms are charging us to be their customers. Mm-hmm. You know, you can say about Google, rightly or wrongly, that you don't have to otherwise pay for their services. They are giving you something for all of that disgusting business model. Google, Facebook, mm-hmm. Twitter, et cetera. They're giving you a service for it. But Verizon is charging you. So now they're charging you, and they're going to track you behind your back. They're going to track you without your say-so, without your knowledge. So this was going on without anyone's knowledge from 2012 to 2014 in violation with a really ancient law from 2010 that said that you can't do this sort of thing. I'm sorry, an ancient regulation. It's not a law. It's a regulation from the FCC. Governing internet transparency. Mm-hmm. In 2014, this came out, so people learned about it. There was a pushback. There was a little pressure. There were Senate hearings. Senators were up in arms about it. And Verizon graciously, by the gracious nature of their corporate hearts, allowed people to opt out of this crap.
Oh, and wow,
yeah, it wasn't that nice of them. Yeah, to opt out. And the FCC settled with Verizon yesterday, or announced a settlement yesterday, where users have to opt in to be shared with third parties.
Okay.
And still can opt out of having their motions tracked by Verizon for Verizon's own use.
So that's kind of confusing. You have to opt into one part and opt out of the other.
Yes.
Great. Okay.
And Verizon got slapped with a massive fine of $1.35 million,
which is huge.
It's not even, yeah, it's, this is one of the things that just sent me off on a massive tilt. Senator Bill Nelson, a Democrat out of Florida, gave a statement to Reuters, who was reporting all this, saying that the settlement was, quote, a win for consumers that will hopefully make companies think twice before engaging in practices that violate consumer privacy. And I say, Brian, sir, that this settlement does precisely the opposite. It ensures that any kind of violation of privacy will be considered a minor cost of doing business.
Right.
So yeah, no deterrent.
A million. Let's round it up. $1.5 million to a company like Verizon.
Well, what I was going
to up. Let's round it up to $10 million.
What I wanted to ask you about, Brian, was that these companies continue to do these things even though they suspect they're going to be caught. But you made a great point that they make a business decision that they're going to go ahead and violate these rules knowing that they're going to get caught. But they get to pocket the winning, the ill-gotten gains, and then pay a small fine. So, as you say, there's no motivation to do the right thing.
None. And it's just, it's, the whole thing is disgusting. And the FCC should be ashamed of itself for this settlement, in my opinion. I mean, I'd like to see people go to jail for this. Unfortunately, the FCC cannot prosecute people or send people to jail. A matter of fact, I mean, the what they were settling over was a regulation, and a regulation is not a law. So I don't think even the DOJ could prosecute over this. Is at least that's my understanding.
Does Congress set a limit on the fines, or can the FCC set their own fines?
I don't know enough about the structure of that. I cannot imagine that $1.35 million was any kind of a limit. I mean, you know, this should have been a fine of all all advertising revenue or something.
Yeah.
At a minimum, they should have taken that M at the front of million and replaced it with a B for billion.
Yeah, $1 billion might actually make Verizon think twice about this, or some other telecom, because who knows what AT&T is doing, and Sprint and T-Mobile both tend to play a little bit nicer because they're the small guys. But they could be doing something similar. I mean, it's the corporate mentality that made someone at Verizon think that this was an acceptable thing to do in the first place. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of these companies doing this sort of thing, viewing us as a commodity for their profit. I'm sick of it. And entities like the FCC and the FTC need to step up and make these companies actually pay for this stuff.
This could be a symptom of political pressure on them. Congress says, hey, these guys donate to my campaign. Let's still punish them too hard because they need that extra cash, you know?
Of course. I'm not a big cynic when it comes to government. I am not going to jump on the bandwagon of all politicians are corrupt, that the FCC is corrupt, that lobbying money controls everything. But
there is that pressure, that subtle pressure to keep fine from being onerous. Yeah.
In the meanwhile, and these are completely unrelated, of course. Apple gets convicted for trying to
break into the ebook market.
Yeah, to break into a vertical monopoly. That's weird. Completely unrelated. They have nothing to do with each other. But it's just, I mean, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to see a story like this cross to cross our news desk. I mean, $1.35 million is just such an insulting amount of money.
Yeah, when I saw the amount, my assumption was I had misread the value.
Yeah, so did I. I had to keep going back. It's like, wait a minute, really? Is it really that little? I mean, they probably spent more in attorneys and executive time negotiating the settlement than they're actually paying there. And even that is still not going to be any kind of deterrent. It's a minor cost to business.
Yeah.
Well, you made a good point earlier, Brian, that to avoid political pressure and make the fine arbitrary, it should simply be equal to the ill-gotten gains.
Yeah, but with the
plus attorney fees
and some kind of punitive element on top of that.
Yes,
it should be something that could actually possibly be an attorney. If you're with Verizon now, dump them. Go somewhere else. I mean, this Verizon does this sort of thing. I mean, not this specific sort of thing, but Verizon is just seems like they're constantly on the side of crappy corporate practices.
You know, now here's the part that really sucks, I'm sure, for some people that are listening right now, because they heard you say, if you're using Verizon, dump them. And some people are saying, oh, Brian, if only I could. It's the only carrier that has any coverage where I live.
Yeah.
And in some cases, people are stuck with Verizon or whatever company it is that they don't want to give money to, but have to, because it's the only company that can give them whatever that service is. That just sucks.
Yeah.
Maybe we're back to thinking that Apple should become an MVNO, control their part of the network that is downwind from the towers, maybe, and become our hero.
I wonder if Verizon couldn't still do a super cookie.
I wonder. It's technically interesting. Yeah.
That would be interesting. I bet that would really piss off Apple. Really bad. Hey.
Probably.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, which I believe I have mentioned. And that sponsor is Casper, the mattress company. Brian, like me, you have a Casper mattress, and I think it's safe for me to say we both really like ours.
I love my Casper mattress. I've had it for a year and a half now. Yeah, not quite a year and a half now. I love it.
Yeah, and I've had mine longer than you, which is not like a bragging right thing. Well, no, I guess it is. I've had this mattress longer than you. Ha ha ha. Yeah. Anyhow, what I love about the Casper mattress, actually, there's a lot of things. I love how well they're built, and I am very picky. When I got my Casper mattress, the first thing I did after taking out of the box, and this probably says a lot about me, I got down and started looking very closely at all the stitches and all the seams, because you can tell a lot about the quality of a product by looking at how all the components are stitched together. I looked for raw edges. I looked for uneven stitching, and I did not find either. My mattress was put together exactly as I expected a quality product to be put together, which made me very happy. I do notice the little things like that. I love that it's comfortable and that it has made a noticeable improvement in my sleep patterns. And I tracked very closely after I started sleeping on a Casper mattress. Actually, I track my sleep patterns very closely every single night. So it was very easy for me to compare the months and months and months of data that I had before my Casper mattress with the data that I was getting once I had my mattress. And there was a marked improvement in my sleep quality. And that's a big thing for someone like me who sees sleep as this magical, wonderful thing that other people get to do. So I'm glad that I get to participate in that some now as well. I also love the pricing. They've been able to put together a business model where instead of you having to pay gobs and gobs of money, you can pay a much more reasonable price. So as an example, I have the queen size mattress, $850. A comparable mattress that you would go pick up in a store is going to run you over $1,000 easy. And so I saved money getting a new mattress just by going with Casper. So that was cool. And that that savings gets even better because Casper has a special deal for you, our listeners. If you go to their website, casper.com/TDO, and then use the discount code TDO, you're going to get an additional $50 off your mattress. So, you know, a twin size mattress, they'll start at $500. So it would be $450. $850 queen size, $800. Look at that. I sleep well enough. I can do simple math. Go me. Anyhow, hit their website, casper.com/TDO. And check out their mattresses. And trust me, these are really good mattresses. I'm so happy with mine. Pick yourself up a mattress, casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO, $50 off and no shipping. That's a beautiful, wonderful thing. Thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor this week. Okay, the other thing I wanted to talk about today is Steve Wozniak. And the Woz, he offered up his take on the ongoing fight between Apple and the FBI over whether or not we should have back doors, essentially, through the encryption in our smartphones. And Woz said that he stands with Apple.
He offered his 5-minute take in about 65 seconds.
Yes. Yes, he did. That man can pack a lot of words into a minute and a half.
Yes, he can.
Yeah. So his take is that the FBI picked the wrong case.
For, he said lame.
Yeah, he said lame. Yeah, so when Conan asked him about the case and his take, one of the things that Woz said was they picked the lamest case you ever could, meaning the FBI. And he feels that because they chose a case where you don't have terrorists that are convicted of a crime, that and a few other things are bad for a platform to go after this sort of plan, meaning trying to get Apple to create a version of iOS that bypasses security measures.
Yeah, I'm not with Woz on this. And so, by the way, I'm a huge fan of Steve Wozniak. I mean, the man, the things that Steve Wozniak has done are so much better and bigger and more important than the things that almost anyone else on the planet has done. I'm a huge fan of the man. Mm-hmm. I think he's missing the forest from the trees here. I'm watching that interview and I'm seeing him saying that the FBI picked a lame case because there's not going to be much on the phone. And that's not why the FBI picked up this case. It's not why it picked this case to pursue this particular action.
No, and the FBI picked this case because it's the perfect hot button platform.
Well, and while Saeed Farooq is not a convicted terrorist, he is a known terrorist, and he's a dead terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
And the device is owned by a living entity, a government office, a government agency,
mm-hmm.
that has given its permission to get onto the phone. It's the perfect case in contrast to what Steve is saying. And it's the perfect case because the goal here is not so much. The FBI certainly wants to be able to rule anything out on the phone. They want to rule out the idea that there's something on the phone that would be useful, mm-hmm. in investigating this. But that's not the goal. The goal is to get the precedent set so that Apple and other companies can be forced to do what it is the judges ordered Apple to do.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's clearly what they're going after in this case.
Yeah. And, so he's missing four for the trees here.
All right. So we're pretty much out of time, but I want to ask you, what do you think about the other thing he said in the interview, which is that he actually experimented with writing a couple Mac viruses and it scared the crap out of him?
Yeah, he said that he experimented with writing viruses for the Mac that could spread from one Mac to another. That's an actual virus. And of course, Steve Wozniak is going to be using the term correctly.
Of course,
you know, that's how was interesting about that was, is given all the protections that have been built into OS X, Wozniak must be a really good programmer.
Actually, we don't know when this was. He could have experimented with doing this in the 90s, the 80s.
Didn't he say Mac? But he said Mac. We didn't have that till 84.
Right. That still counts as the 80s, John.
If he could have percolated it around on a classic OS, that would have been impressive, too. Whether it's classic OS or it's Unix, it would be an impressive programming feat.
He's always been an amazing programmer. I did find it fascinating that he said that he could do it, and I'm certainly glad that he destroyed the code.
I'm glad he destroyed the code.
That was the other key part, right? Destroying the code and the comment about how if it ever got out, it would be scary. And we're facing the same situation now. No lessons there.
Yeah, that was the context for his statement.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, we are out of time, so I'm going to have to wrap us up. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Yep.
And John, thank you for being here, too.
Pleasure.
It's always great to have both of you on the show. Casper, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO and get yourself an amazing mattress. I just love mine. And you can live vicariously through me. No, you can't. You can buy your own. You don't have to live vicariously through me. All right, go get your mattress. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.